This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And we'll get back to the text line here shortly, but always a treat to get this guy on. Really do enjoy our conversations. J.R. Young from King Operating, a man that's taught me more in like one conversation about the oil business than I could have learned reading 10 books, although he's got books about it. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great, Sean. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate you.
It's good. And we'll get back.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well. And we'll get back to some domestic production here before we finish discussing it. But I think it was probably the last time you were on the show with me. We're talking about several things, but you brought up Venezuelan oil and what was going on there. And here we sit now with a sea change moment in Venezuela. Your thoughts as an oil guy, what do you think about this?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's news, right? I mean, it's news, and that guy's being transported here. And, you know, Maduro, and I feel like that what everybody's thinking is, okay, man, this is going to oversupply our United States addiction to oil, or appetite, if you will. George Bush called it addiction. But it's an addiction to oil that we have. We need 20 million barrels a day in the United States. We produce 13 here, and maybe that'll overcome, or that'll help bring prices down. Which I do agree. Hey, it's anything helps, and anything that helps that keeps prices down, that's a great thing. So there's no problem with us. It's not the kind of crude that we produce in the United States. It's a heavier crude, so we are going to need that crude in our refineries here in the United States, because we've oversupplied our refineries here in the United States. Plus, California knocks them all off all the time, so they're shutting down refineries, and it's a whole different story, a whole different episode for the Sean Sullivan Show.
Give me a short version here. Like, explain, here comes Venezuela versus, you know, West Texas Intermediate or whatever. Let's uh-huh. look at Venezuela yeah. crude. How much more money or more time is it to turn that into the products we need, petroleum versus some WTI?
Yeah, well, Sean, first let me start off. I mean, they're producing about 1 million barrels a day over in Venezuela. They're down from 2.5 to 3 million. So they're producing 1 million, 1.1 million a day. They need some. They're exporting some. You know, to the United States, it could make a small difference. I mean, like I said, we need 20 million barrels a day. If they're producing, you know, 200-300 that they could allocate for the United States, that's great. But now what everybody's hoping is that we'll just go in there and start producing, you know, 5 to 10 million barrels a day and just help us out a lot, which that's not going to happen. John, only on Landman, only on the show Landman, Cooper and Billy Bob Thornton can drill 6 wells by dinner.
Yeah, that's, you know, what like I did want to get your opinion on that, too, yeah. before this Venezuela thing came up. But the fact that they can strike it, and I watched that show, and yeah. go, I wonder what Jay thinks of that show.
Oh, you're not the only one. Even my wife will ask me to, okay, stop it, pause it, what's going on here, you know, type things. But, no, I mean, Venezuela's going to be a great place. They say there's 300 billion barrels of oil over there. They say that it's going to help out a lot, but you don't have the infrastructure. You've got to get rigs in there to drill for oil and gas. You've got to get people to drill the wells. I mean, you've got to have a completion. You know, you could take 2 rigs over there and a completion frac crew over there and start producing that oil, and that would help a lot. But you're not going to make a big difference. You know what I'm saying? It's like wells come in at 1,000, 2,000 barrels a day. They decline rapidly. So to get up to a big difference and overtake, you know, our deficit. Mm-hmm. We need 20 million a day in the United States. We need 20 million. We produce 7 million. To overtake that, you would need, you know, a plethora of rigs, you know, and you'd have to do some landman magic, you know, to drill a lot of wells in a short amount of time to overtake and make a huge difference. It is going to make a difference, but you know, the the world needs 100 million barrels of oil a day. 100 million. They produce a million.
Yeah.
Not that big a deal.
Well, okay, and I want to come back to Venezuela's supply. But the quality or lack thereof of Venezuelan oil, is it more like when you bring that in, let's say it comes into that refinery, is it, and you get some WTI coming in to refinery A, and then refinery B gets the Venezuelan oil, is the production time to get that process longer or more expensive with the Venezuelan oil?
Yeah, but right now we're not even using our refineries. We're sending overseas oil out of the United States to make it into, you know, the less expensive crude that we have because we can't produce it here. We can't refine it here because of our refineries. So to do that, it just costs more money. So yeah, it'll be more expensive. And you need that type of oil. You need that type of oil to make sure that you can, you know, put those in our refineries here. And it's a great deal. I mean, it's going to work out and it's going to help. But our demand for oil, that's what I look at, too. I look at not only the supply that we're going to have, but also look at the demand. So I'll say, hey, you know what? We're going to need more oil every day. The demand, or what I say is the peak oil demand. When are we going to start needing less oil in the United States? And you know, EIA, Goldman, all the people just keep knocking that number out further, which means that we're not going to go down in demand. Demand for oil is going to be around for a long period of time. We're going to need more oil. So therefore, you know, yeah, we're going to need more oil. And we're not producing it here. Right now, we're using less rigs in the Permian to drill for oil and gas. We are not only using less rigs to drill for oil and gas, but also the wells that we have online are declining. So we're going to need a big demand here, you know, coming this summer, next and end of the year, and going into 2027. We're not going to have as much oil in the United States. We're just not drilling it like we were, you know, 2 years ago. And when Trump said, drill, baby, drill.
Yeah, what happened? You know, why aren't we drill, baby, and drilling?
Yeah, well, the price is going down, and the shale, you know, the S-H-A-L-E shale wells that you have to frack, the break-evens are so expensive that a lot of people shut down, and they're like, well, we're not going to drill these things at 50, 60 bucks. We'll just hold on to our acreage, and when prices go back around, and this is cyclical, just like everything, when it comes back around, they'll drill it at 70 or 80, but they're not going to drill it at 50, 60, 70, and everybody thinks the price are going to continue to go down, which, hey, they could. They may continue to go down for a short amount of time, but by next summer, we'll see 70, 75, 80 bucks without question because we just don't have the oil in the United States.
And that's
we're not going to have it.
Yeah, something for all of us to think about, too, as consumers, that there is a point, I mean, it doesn't magically appear, that gasoline prices, well, as a driver and a consumer, I like to see them come down, but they get to a certain point where the volume of production will go down because there's not the people are going to sit on that reserve. They don't have to sell it right then.
Right. Yeah. So you're right. And so what happens is it's cyclical, and I'm a fourth generation guy, and I wrote my book, you know, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. I believe I sent you a copy. Did I send you a copy?
Got it on my bookshelf. Okay, absolutely.
Good. There you go. Good.
So,
and I'd like to send others to a copy of the book. If you go to the website, we'll talk about that in a minute when we're closing out. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you do need a lot of oil in the United States, and it's just a tug of war. You know, OPEC says, oh, we're going to put 1.5 million barrels on the market. We're going to oversupply the United States. And then all of a sudden they go, oh yeah, hey, well, we're just kidding. We're not going to give you 1.5 million. And so they're trying to play that price too, because they make money. Their countries make money on oil and gas. I mean, they're nationalized. So therefore, that's how they make their money. And the more money they make, the, you know, more, I don't know, gold cars they can build or whatever they do.
Well,
over there.
Okay. But yeah. Let's talk Venezuela with less quality, but the volume, you kind of mentioned that for a second. I mean, people said that Venezuelan oil reserves may be the biggest of any nation. Do you think that's true?
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they're saying. And I don't know how they verified it. And we were having a conversation right here this morning just talking about, is that true? I don't know how they – how do you make sure when you have a dictatorship, you have that unselling of a country, make sure they're telling the truth. I don't know.
I don't think it's possible. Goes, so. Right. I mean, yeah. they boast about all kind of stuff. I don't know that – for sure, that's going to be accurate with the amount of oil they have there. But, I mean, how do you take this? You take this oil that they have. We know it's a lot. I don't know if it's most or not. That's just what they're saying. But they have a lot. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. fail with it. It seems like at a certain point, a country should thrive. I mean, look at the Middle East, right? I mean, the standards of living and all that are so high because it's propped up with all this natural resource of oil. And here's Venezuela.
Right.
And at one point they were living right with it, but is it as simple, even if it's a socialist country, wouldn't you just say, we got to get, hey, socialists out there, we got to do it for the home country. Let's get the production up here. I mean, it would right. lift everybody.
Right. Yeah, oh, absolutely, 100%. And the country makes money for the oil anyway, so why wouldn't you get it up to 2-3? They had up to 2.5 to 3 million barrels at one time. Then they quit drilling. There was underinvestment. They just didn't know what they were doing. Oil went down to 1 million, and they're still making money at 1 million. You know, I don't know how much money they're making, but they're still making money. I'm assuming at 1 million barrels. But why not get it to 2 to 3?
Exactly.
You have more oil than anywhere else, and and it just takes a lot. It's not as easy as it seems to get a country up to that. You know, because you have so many different. It's the only gas business is so complicated, but it's not. But I can imagine going into a country like Venezuela and bringing rigs in and all the money, because every barrel of oil is sold goes into the Venezuela's pockets. So it's like that's their checkbook.
Yeah. You know? So wouldn't you want your checkbook to have more checks in it? Like, if we could, and it's, I'm not asking for a landman miracle, but they've had 20 years of this. Hey, let's, we let production go to 1 million. Hey, guys, let's just try to get to 2 million. Let's get to work on this. Yeah. Even if it wasn't American or sell out to, you know, other producers, say, but this is what we're getting off every barrel. You know, we're going to make more money. We're going to double our money.
Exactly. A million times 50 or $60 a barrel. Let's say a million times 60. Times 30, that's $2 billion a month. $2 billion a month that they have. If there's 1 million barrels a day, why not take that to 2 million, 3 million? What do you have to give up? What's the? I don't know. I'm not in those boardrooms, and I don't want to be in those boardrooms. But I'd love to have the opportunity to make that kind of money with oil and gas production, because you're. But I mean, they run their whole government off of that mm-hmm. that $2 billion a month. Not to say I couldn't, but of course I could. But I'm just saying that's a lot of money. And why not? And if you have the reserves, which you're saying, you're claiming you have more oil in your country than Russia,
mm-hmm.
Iran, Iraq, every country, and they say there's 20% of the total reserves of oil in Venezuela. I don't understand it, but I tell you what, I'd be hiring me a bunch of Billy Bobs to go out there and let's take this thing up. I'm like you, Sean. Let's take this to 2 to 3 million barrels and live large.
Yeah, if you're having trouble,
have a great country.
Yeah, if you're having trouble keeping the books, you know what they you say at companies I work for, gross cures all, right? I mean, you get the gross up and cures all instead of when it comes exactly. to budgeting time. Just get the gross up and everything works itself out. You know,
100%.
Jay, you mentioned a price per barrel, and I know in conversations we've had in the past, let's look back here domestically, where that, I say sweet spot, because I see the business from a bigger side. I am, like I said, a consumer who fills up the 36-gallon tank on my Ford, but the price where there's incentive for production and American jobs in there, and it's healthy and robust, and people are going to, like you said, take those risks out there, but I'm not paying $5 a gallon. What is that price per barrel? Where is that sweet spot?
Yeah. Well, and I will go back to Billy Bob Thornton and on Landman, because he's $78 a barrel, And that's good. I think it may be a little too high, but because it's, you know, not that I like high prices, but you want to make sure that you're not overdoing it, or it's like, you know, when you see prices that are too high, that you get everybody in the world. I mean, I ran into a friend of mine that was in, he was in real estate, and then I was flying to Midland on a Southwest flight when oil prices were $80, $90 a barrel. And I said, hey, what's going on? What are you going to Midland for? I thought you were in real estate. He played football at college and in the NFL. And then I said, what are you doing now? And he goes, I work for an oil and gas company. I said, I just don't understand that. I just think that people that grow up in the oil business or that go into the oil business out of college are the people that are supposed to be in the oil business. Not somebody that goes, oh, okay, here's, I'm looking at the oil business because of, or whatever. That's just kind of how I think. But so I'm a fourth generation. You know, my granddad went into the oil business when he was 16 years old. You know, and moved to East Texas in 1936, and I mean, it's like we talk about it all the time about, you know, what happened and how things were, and they would shut towns down, these small towns, when they bring a well in, they wanted to watch the oil come over the derrick. I mean, that was my grandmother, my grandfather. I mean, that's how they grew up. They don't do that anymore, you know. But that's just how the history of oil and gas and you know, today it's just so different. But yeah, you need $70-$75 a barrel is healthy. Right now we're in a growth mode, and I'll write about this too I'm doing a second edition of my book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. So you can get one now. I'd love to send you an autographed copy, or I'll send you one when we get the second edition done. But I'm just thinking about it because you want to drill right now for oil and gas. Prices are down. We went by. We're picking up a rig to drill in the Panhandle of Texas. That's a really great area for us up there. And we went to put in $75 million in equity and hopefully sell for $200 to $300 million. But we are picking up a rig up there, and it's like, okay. We go by the yard. There's three rigs in the yard not being used. You know, and they have these people that are running around trying to work for their families. And that's a lot different when you go by a yard and there's three rigs in the yard instead of no rigs. If there's no rigs, you can't get a price. It's like, hey, I need a rig. And they go, well, we have all our rigs already being used.
Right.
And you go by that one with three rigs and they're like, man, I got this rig over here. I got this rig. I got this rig. I mean, what specifications do you need? Because that's when you're negotiating. You know, you're not negotiating when all are being used. And one of the things, Sean, that we've talked about is that, you know, to drill an oil and gas well takes about as many vendors as it does to build a house.
Wow.
You know, because you need cement, you need casing, you need a rig, you need people, you need wireline. I mean, there's just I can go through all the list of things that you need to drill or complete or produce wells, and it takes a lot of different vendors, and if they're busy, it's hard to get prices. But if they're not as busy, then they're like, okay, hey, you sold me that pipe last year at, you know, when prices were down, you know, at $8, I needed it at $7 or something, and they're like, yeah, I've got some. Or it's all negotiable. Everything's negotiable. It's not just a one size fits all like some people may think.
Yeah, well, it's business, and even when you're dealing with oil and natural gas. Remind folks, too, if they want to get the book. I mean, I know you can find your book like in stores and on Amazon and all that, but is that best, or going to your website? What do you do?
Yeah, go to my website. If you want to download it, if you like an autograph, if you're interested in looking at oil and gas as an investment, or if you're investing in oil and gas, or if you have that idea, you need to buy my book, because I talk about a lot about, you know, how can investors get taken advantage of, and what's a good deal, what's not a good deal. So if you're interested in that, go to my website, kingoperating.com, and fill out the information and say, hey, I'm interested in an autographed copy of Jay's book. I'd be glad to send it to you. Or if you're just like, I want to learn oil gas and what goes on behind the scenes and what about Jay Young's family, you can go to anywhere and buy the book yourself. Whichever one, we welcome it, and I give all the money to charity for the book, so I'm not making any money off of it, and I always love helping the military.
But it's good stuff. It's good read, too, for people to check out. And, yeah, in the second edition, just point out that Cooper can't drill that many wells in a day, okay?
He definitely will be mentioned. Definitely will be mentioned.
Jay, man, great to talk to you again, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. John, Happy New Year. Talk to you soon.
Happy New Year. There he goes, the one and only Jay Young, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 12:56, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Thank you to Jay. Always good to get him on the show. Yep. Coming up hour number two. Don't want to miss this. Heath Hutchinson is going to join us. Part of that lawsuit against Mobile County and Boss over the county's vacation of the road that led there to the only public launch on Big Creek Lake. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And I thought this was a good time to remind you about what my buddy Trey does. He got a company, maybe you heard of it, called 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Maybe, just maybe, for your New Year's resolution, you're going to get organized. My pro tip is it's easier to organize fewer things. See what it did? So it sounds like a Confucius said it or something. Easier to organize fewer things. If you got junk around the house, storage unit, shop, you got junk that's, you're like, oh, we'll get around to getting that stuff gone, get rid of it now or pretty soon when you make an appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And that's what I love, too. The Trey gets it. None of this stuff where you have to sit all day and wait for some person you're paying to come to your house. They find out the day you want to do it, the time you want to do it. They make a good old-fashioned appointment. And then all you got to do when they get there is point at the junk you want gone. It can be big stuff, too. Don't just think boxes. I mean, they remove, you know, above-ground pools and trampolines and storage buildings and the contents and all that stuff. If that's in your way, they can handle that as well. But make the call. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make that appointment and get your New Year's resolution done and started today when you make that appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.